It's time for the second funniest podcast with your hosts, the Kevin Miller and Justin Wersch. Have fun, guys.
Hello and welcome to the Second Funniest Podcast. Thank you, Sam, very much for that illustrious intro. I feel like you delivered every time as if it was the first time, and I appreciate that immensely, and so do our listeners. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. This is episode number 348.
Woo!
With me, as always, is the one, the only, the early adopter, TheKevinMiller.com. Jump, press the circle button, Kevin.
Divide by nine,
I'm going to try.
It's really 348. You're sure it's not 347?
No, we had 347 was the second episode last week. We only have three more episodes.
Got it.
In the year.
All right.
Unless we decide to throw some extra in there. You don't know what we're going to do.
Maybe. Maybe we'll close out the year with a live show.
Yeah, I think that was the plan?
That must
Did
be
we
the
say
plan.
That plan?
But we talked about it off the air.
Oops.
Let's talk about it on the air. Last show of this, I thought we'd had two more in 2 weeks, but maybe we'll just do one super long for as long as we feel like blowout.
Yeah. Like a three-parter. It'll be like a trilogy.
Let's get everybody in there. It'll be great.
And then later we're going to come back.
Yeah.
And we're going to be like, listen, we're going to change this thing that we did, and we're going to make it better. But in your opinion, it's going to be worse. Is CeeLo Green balking in my ear?
Welcome. Special musical guest, CeeLo Cluck. Now, this is Camilla and the Chickens from the Muppets original soundtrack.
Oh, that's right. You went to see this movie, huh?
This is pretty great. You know, it's crazy. If you've seen the movie, and you're not from Hollywood, you may not be aware that most of the movie takes place in Hollywood.
Oh, really?
Shot in Hollywood. So, like,
which never happens, so people know.
Yeah, exactly. It happens a lot. just so everybody knows Justin's being funny. The Muppet Studio is down the street from my house.
No, I wasn't being entirely funny. Like, I know that but, like, I thought the majority of the production is happening in, like, Canada because of the tax hits that they get.
There's that.
There's so much money for a permit in Hollywood. Like, for a while back in I think it was the mid to 90s, that there's a Hollywood in Florida that most things were shot in because it was cheaper.
Disneyland opened up Disneyland Studios out there, same as Universal did out in Orlando. But it didn't really take off. It's not a super good place to shoot because the weather is so nasty. Like, you can be dealing with hurricanes. It changes quickly. Whereas Canada, the weather's pretty consistent. Yeah. Like, you walk outside.
Consistently bad.
It's always going to look the same. It's always going to look like New York, essentially, which is why they shoot up there. But if you do, like, in the movie, The Muppets, the movie theater that we were in was the movie theater that the Muppets were taking place in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because it's the El Capitan.
Oh, wow.
Which is the Disney theater. It's next door to Jimmy Kimmel Live. Yeah, and there's signs for Jimmy Kimmel. And they replaced the marquee, and it said the Muppets Theater. It was all dilapidated
and
stuff. So it was a little weird. And when you go, the inside of the theater was a set somewhere.
Now, you live right there, so did you see them build this, or do you think they did it all in post?
I did. I'd walked down the street. I can't remember when. But I had seen the words The Muppet Show on the marquee outside because it's an LED marquee.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's funny. I wonder if the Muppets are doing something. I think at that time I knew that there was another Muppet movie coming. But I didn't put it together. And then that when seeing the movie, that's what's on the marquee is that they were setting up the shot, or maybe they were filming and I didn't notice. But that was exactly what was on the marquee, was that whole, it was that LED The Muppet Show happening right there. And then the last act, it's just going to play on loop. Thanks, iTunes. The last scene takes place right on Hollywood Boulevard, the same strip where all the Oscars happens and everything. Mm-hmm. So it's not that crazy. But
spoiler alert.
Yeah, sorry.
Some people are riveted to movies for the scenery.
Who sees a movie?
There has to be at least one person
I guess.
Who's like, why would he tell me where it's set? Ah, that's my only thing. Because every movie is the same. They're always doing the same story with the same actors. But you know what changes? The environment.
The environment's changed.
That's
every
what changes.
Time.
These the artistic directors that they have, the production designers that are working on today's film. It is appalling. It makes me want to vomit in my Cheerios that these people have a separate Oscars that aren't even televised. That's where the real movie magic is being made.
I'm sorry.
Not this green screen crap in these blockbusters. People going, you know what? Turn that Quaker Oats can to the right a little. We could see the label.
We need to see
nothing but nutrition facts.
Those people have worked hard. They have built up a career for themselves.
Yes, and they deserve it. Was this in the Muppet movie as well?
I can't tell you.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh. Now you're ruining it for the people who love the soundtrack. That's what you're...
Well, look
these
on iTunes.
People work hard. They stay away from iTunes the same way people stay away from Facebook.
Do they really?
When their favorite... Like,
I gotta
when
stop believing you
when
tonight.
No, I'm serious. Mad Men. When Mad Men has a...
Really?
If you haven't had... Like, there's people who talk about it. Like, if Mad Men's played and you haven't had a chance to watch it on your TiVo, then you stay away from Facebook because people are going to be like,
Oh my God. Well, that's different.
I can't believe they killed him.
That's the same thing as, like, being into a team and not going near NFL.com or something because people that were crazy for Potter would gobble up the spoilers. Like, she would list the chapter names months before the book was released.
Really?
Yeah. So people would be speculating on the story based on the I'm like, that's just the same as reading the end of the book, because the last chapter, you know, Dumbledore dies. You're like, oh, I guess Dumbledore dies.
A fallen white wizard.
Yeah, exactly.
It could be Lord of the Rings. You don't know. You don't know. You don't really know. I'm just saying.
It's probably all the same.
I watched the last movie of that, by the way. It was really good.
Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, no. Deathly Hollows Part 2.
Oh, I was like, that movie's been out since what?
I watched.
That was like,
on Thanksgiving.
Lord of the Rings 3 was Academy Award winner. It won Best Picture.
What?
Are you aware of that?
No.
Are you being funny?
No.
I forget it all the time. Best Picture. What did you think of the last Harry Potter?
I liked it a lot. Like, I was like, I go, you know, it's funny because I watched them all with my son again.
Yeah.
And I was really glad that he was gone when I watched this one, because he loses. It's funny how the movies age with their fans. Like, that's kind of
just
the
like
idea.
The books. Yeah.
And that he lost interest after the first couple. Like, wasn't about cute magic and cool stuff that they were doing. He's like, I don't care.
He can't grip.
Oh, big whoop. He kissed a girl. Like, you know, he doesn't care.
Well, the third one, it gets darker. Yeah. They travel through time.
And he literally, by the time the first Deathly Hallows, I watched that with him, he didn't even make it 5 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. He was out.
Well, the first two are definitely brighter, more colorful. Yeah. So, I don't know.
Fun. They're fun. There's cool ideas that are being...
Do you really think he's picking up on that stuff at the age of three? Like,
what do you
mean? The concept of, like, fun magic, a popcorn movie versus a character definition.
Oh, no, yeah. That's,
really?
He's the animal brain that they test that stuff on. Like, he's us at our lowest form of requirement for entertainment. You
Fair
know
enough.
I mean? And my wife and I watched it, and I was like, I'm so glad that he's not here, because I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, and it's intense, and I really was, like, it had the nice payoff and everything. I was really happy with it. Really, really liked it. But anyway, we're supposed to be talking about...
You're reminding me of... no, you're doing a good job. You're reminding me of an episode of Paranoid that was on a few weeks ago, but I don't want to spoil that in case it's sitting someone's TiVo.
Yeah, no, that's
But
great.
You saw that one, right?
Yeah, that's great.
It was so great.
We can say it now.
Yeah, I'm just being funny.
He's like, he goes, we watch Harry Potter together.
Yeah, he got all pissed.
You watch the movies?
Like, yeah, and then he geeks out. He tried, because his son, he lives with his mom, had watched the Harry Potter movies.
No, the guy's
out
boyfriend.
Of order.
Her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Started jumping ahead before they read the books.
Just watching, like, the seventh one on their own when he'd
been
reading the books.
He was doing with his kid where they would read the book and then they would watch the movie.
So he, to compete with him, goes and watches the movie.
On his laptop.
Yeah. So that he has something to talk to his 8-year-old son about.
You do that. You would. It's funny how you watch that stuff.
You think?
Oh, yeah. No, you do. Because, like, it's I don't know. Because there's an aspect of that show that I think is only appealing to me because I have kids. And I feel like it's like I'm in with the in crowd with them. You know what I mean? So there's these moments like that where it's like, listen, you don't take my kid to my first football game. You know, and then there's moments that I have with my wife. It's like where she's like, you know, oh, my God. I'm like, what is he doing wrong? This is all on her. Like that kind of stuff, you know.
My wife and I watch that show like it's a sporting match.
Yeah.
We'll actually pause it and discuss
the
fight that they're having. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And like this current storyline where the oldest son is getting involved with the secretary and stuff.
Yeah,
like they yank us back and forth because we'll stop it and we'll talk about it. I feel like, and then she starts to get mad. Like my wife will begin to take the emotion of the scene, and I'll begin to feel like we're fighting. I'm like, I didn't do what that guy's doing, right?
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah.
I didn't kiss some stupid bimbo outside her door. Like, I'm not that dumb guy.
Yeah,
but
it's not. Hold on.
Yeah.
Before you start calling him dumb, I mean, you saw her boobs, right?
Listen, I got that he drove her home. I was like, okay. The moment he's like, I'll walk you to the door. I'm like, you're stupid.
No, you would do that.
Walk her to her door because her boobs are big?
Oh, yeah. In the rain? Are you kidding me right now? Are you kidding me?
Oh, man.
No, all on honesty aside, which, by the way, we need to get back to video games at some point. That's right. Second Funniest Podcast, no longer about video games. We're covering all your Tuesday night shows.
Exactly.
Tuesday night at 10 o'clock, whatever's on, we're talking about it. We're talking about Parenthood. We're talking about Glee. We're talking about Raising Hope. It's basically Fox and NBC only. But anyway, I'm sorry, I made myself laugh with that. But my point was,
put that in your act. That's a really funny comedy bit.
Please stop. So I go, you would sit there because you don't think that that's what's going on.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and what I really like about that moment, by the way, is that they didn't portray him as the guy. He kind of wanted it, but he definitely did the right thing.
You know taken what I mean? Or you mean at what point?
Well, he was being a nice guy, and they suggested to the idea that he was into her. You know
well,
what I mean?
Of course, she's attractive.
Yes,
I mean
right. But then when he gets, he's doing the nice. Like I've been in that situation.
You would not have walked her to her door.
I would have.
There was no point for him to walk her to her door.
I would have. I know I have because I have.
I don't understand. I mean, maybe hindsight's 20/20, and I could watch it and see what was going
on. Here's what it
but
is.
I would not have walked that girl to her door.
When you're married, mm-hmm. right? You think,
and I am.
You think, okay, when this happens for you.
No, it's
don't,
been there.
Listen, just let me get this out.
You're talking to past Kevin. Kevin of former years.
But anyway, I realized I was saying it to the audience, but I'm looking at you, which sounds incredibly condescending. Kevin, when you're married.
Okay.
Yeah, but I am.
I am.
Listen.
Okay, I'm on board.
So anyway, I feel, maybe I should say this, I feel like you're off the market. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And let's not forget the years that it was hard to get a girl to touch me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, now I'm married, it's even harder. Classic. 1989. Boom! Even to get the improv. But you try, and so it's like, you think, well, now that I'm married, it's not like they're going to be throwing themselves at you. And what you do is you feel like you have to set an example of being what a good guy is. Like, he's also the oldest son. That's part of who he is. He's the moral character.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the family, you know what I mean? So he's like, I'm not trying. He's yelling at his brother to stop flirting with her. So he has nothing like that on his mind. He's just trying to do the chivalrous thing, the nice thing. And then what happens is, because I've had it gets misconstrued as something else. Like, for instance, you guys don't know this, but in the comedy club world, there's a rule that says you don't sleep with the waitstaff. I, of course, broken it. No, I'm kidding.
Coffee out my nose.
But anyway, you don't because, and so subsequently, because there is this thing, this stigma, there are certain clubs that I go to work that I'm just a nice guy. So I will say, hey, my name's Justin. What's your name? Because I like to know the names of the people that I'm going to be working with for that week.
But they think you're flirting.
If it's a girl, they think, listen, I know what you're trying to do. I see the ring on your finger. You're a sick son of a bitch. You know,
You're like,
you don't say that, but they do with their eyes.
Yeah.
More eyebrows. You can't really say explicatives with just your eyes.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, it hurts, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But do the eyebrows. Do the eyebrows.
S.
Oh, yeah, that hurts. That hurts. See?
I'm cross-eyed for life. I swore with my face.
So you know what I mean? So he's going in there thinking, I'm just doing the right thing.
All right.
Not expecting.
Let's say he had a lapse in judgment, but the moment she put her lips on his, he should have gone home and told his
wife. Oh, yeah. No, that's them. Either I have two thoughts on that.
Yeah.
Either A, that's them going, well, now we have to make this a story. And
it was clearly like an idea for a story. Like, this is like a five-story arc.
They played, well, and I think what happens, and I don't know, I've never written a drama or a sitcom. I've never really written anything other than a five-paragraph essay. Barely did those.
This is a five-paragraph essay. This paragraph could be about mashed potatoes.
I would describe this one as the thesis statement. But anyway, you go, You get into this thing, and you could play all these moments super, super real.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think once it gets to that point where the reality of who this character is, the believable thing is for him to go home and go, this crazy thing happened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that kills your drama.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Which I think that this makes me think that it was a network note that was saying, no, we can't do it that way. You got to stretch it out a little bit, you know, so we can.
Yeah, I get the impression that they, because we were actually watching two seasons concurrently, because my wife had seen it since the beginning, and I've watched second season forward. So we're actually watching season one and season three at the same time between the episodes. Very weird. It's
perfectly
like,
normal.
It's like watching a parallel universe, because their stories, their lives don't really change. But I see in that they have these sort of like directions that they're going, trajectories is probably the best way to say it, with the stories. And you can actually see, by watching the two seasons at the same time, you can actually see that they're setting stuff up to be like, this is the direction we're going now.
Yeah, we're gonna have this happen.
Like, this is what it is. And then you can see it within the episodes of, like, we're going to deal with them being the younger brother being with the dancer chick. We're going to deal with them being married.
Well, the first season.
For four episodes, or being engaged for four episodes. And then dealing with that storyline for four episodes. And or, like, what's his bucket when he came on the show for four episodes? Unless you've watched Parenthood, this is irrelevant. We need to move on. 15 minutes.
But what I want to say, the last thing I want to say is that that first season is essentially them taking the movie Parenthood and putting it on television into a full season. And I think that the right thing, and I think the more believable thing that those characters would have done is he would have come home and said, think that guys like you and me that are married, and even middle America that's single that loves the show for whatever reason, or a 14-year-old girl that's watching the show, would have equally liked it, because people sometimes that make television forget that sometimes we like to see the good, simple choice.
We
want to see them do it right so that we could go, good, yes, that's how I would do it. You know what I mean?
Like, and they do that sometimes, but anyway, so about nerdy things that people like.
Oh, Star Wars?
Will this get you back in the mood?
Yeah. I was already there. I should explain that all of the women have their hair in Danish French braids.
The whole time it's happening.
I tape them and I move them frame by frame around, and it bothers
my
wife.
It's a lot of work.
Try what you think it's hard watching in two seasons at the same time. Oh, frame by frame, it's rough. Sometimes I just got to squint and pretend they're there.
That's an obsession. That's what that is. That you're a sick man.
No.
Not normal.
I'm very healthy.
Not normal.
Very healthy.
So much to talk about. I've been really excited to talk about a lot of games. For example, Star Wars MMORPG comes out the day before my birthday.
Oh, hint, drop, name.
Drop in. I told my wife that. I said, just so you know, that game comes out the day before my birthday, so that'd be a good game.
That would be a great moment for a sound effect of,
I got you this crock pot. You're always saying how you want to cook things slowly in a dish.
I've never said that.
No.
I've said I want to make food faster, and
you
have
to work on our listening.
Tears. It's funny because her birthday is this Thursday. We both have December birthdays. And
you should get the game for her.
I thought about it. That's the problem. Like, I try to think of things that she'd want. I'm like, well, birthday present. I want to get her something great. And I start thinking, what movie would she want? What video game would she want? And I'm like, I need to learn that she does not value DVDs, media, at any level.
You're ready to be married now.
Come on. It just doesn't even register with her brain. We both got Amazon gift cards for Christmas last year, and there were maybe $50 left. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to blow through these so that we're not that people that are like, oh, I still have $50 from last year to add to this year's Amazon gift cards. And there are all these movies that she loves that she doesn't own.
Wait, why is that a negative thing?
It seemed like this was back in September.
You're investing in your gift.
Just roll
it
over.
That's the way I see it.
Well, the thing is that she doesn't use it. Like, a lot of it, she got a gift card for a substantial amount, and I got an equal one.
Double bonus for you then.
Yeah, and so I was using it. Like, I'm like, I want this and I want that, because I can think of things on Amazon that I want. And some of it was utilitarian, like an HDMI cable. So that was something we both used, but not very super sexy. It was like, great, so now we have two
you both use.
HDMI cables. Like, so the cable's in HD.
So now she's watching a slightly better low-res version of Dr. Quinn.
Exactly what it is. So I just went through and thought of every movie she's talked about wanting and got on Amazon, like Pollyanna, Three Amigos.
Uncle Buck.
No, that was it.
Oh, really?
No, What About Bob? What About
Bob? I knew
Bob?
There was something along those lines, but I was like, it's not Uncle Buck.
She loved it. She ate it up, and she was practically in tears. She was like, no one's ever got me anything on Amazon before. And this was just in September. And I was like, damn it.
Taken the most simple step to buy the most easiest and most convenient way to shop for someone.
Exactly.
It's like, I know that the rest of the world sees this as inconsiderately lazy. Damn it, Kevin, I love you for what you've done for me.
There's a lot of my wife mockery in this episode. I'm going to mute you. So now, I don't know. Yeah, she's not listening. I don't know what I'm going to get her, and I'm like, well, maybe she'd like A bowling ball?
Did you just watch the rerun of The Simpsons?
Exactly, yeah. A vacuum cleaner? Who was it I was talking to that their husband was going to get their wife a vacuum cleaner because she kept talking about it, and he was like, oh, she'd really like that. She's always talking about wanting
and
a
every
vacuum.
Other guy's like, no, dude,
yeah,
no,
exactly.
No.
They're like, you better call him now.
Yeah.
And I think it was somebody at the church, and they found out that he was thinking about it, and you're like, you stop him from buying that vacuum cleaner if you ever want to see your wife naked again.
Why isn't that your birthday present?
Me in a bathroom.
Yeah, you're welcome, ladies.
Set to Star Wars. So that game looks really great. Star Wars MMORPG. Would you be interested in it at all?
I might. I'm still, like, it's funny.
On the laptop.
I level capped on DC Universe. That's the only MMORPG.
Super fast, too.
That's how I roll, I guess. I feel like you've given me a compliment that I don't feel I deserve or was aware of until now. Like, when you said I play things fast, like,
yeah,
I get through them. I used to, when we first would say that, you would say that to me, like, man, I used to think, well, like a meal. Kevin eats a meal super slow. You know what I mean? So you savor a game, and
yeah,
I feel like I don't miss anything, but I get through it. Like, I don't know. I'm a checker lister thing. Like,
this is,
you know,
why we don't take you to the buffet.
Right?
Because you can't finish it.
Oh, I try, though. Look at me. Look at me.
Potatoes coming out your eyes.
I want to so bad.
Are you still making fun of my wife?
A little bit. She's a heifer.
Oh, wow.
I'm sorry. Okay. Oh, we got to edit that out. Which button do we have for edit?
My wife is a poultry 108 pounds.
Yeah.
Flap away in the wind. Go on.
Okay, that's so funny. But anyway, I forgot what I was saying. Is that I like the... So anyway, so I got through this level cap, and then I was excited because this is where I realized, you said, you realize this game will never end,
yeah,
right? And I was like, oh, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
What's going to be the new exciting world that they're going to open up for me? And what they decided, and I think this is the way most MMORPGs are done. I really don't think it's fair. I don't want to sound like a criticism of the game because I thoroughly like the game.
Yeah.
Is that it's the same missions, but for different rewards. Like, you
really?
Go back and literally do the same exact story, but now instead of it being cash and, like, equipment, you get what are called marks of triumph, marks of legend. And you're saving up because there's, in Watchtower, there's these awesome battle suits that you can now purchase with your new marks of triumph. And there are 10 marks of triumph give you a mark of legend.
So play that out. Let's say you do all that stuff to get that sweet armor. What do you do with it?
Yeah.
Once you wear it, you go do the same missions again so everybody can see you're wearing it.
Yeah.
And this is normal, I think. I would expect that DCU would start to work on an expansion pack of some sort.
I forgot. You know, and this is unfair of me, is that I haven't even played the Green Lantern 1. Like, there's this whole other story.
Oh, yeah. But that was different. You had to become a Green... Like, you had to change your hero, right?
Yeah.
When you bought that.
Not when you buy... For me, it came with it because I bought the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then it does change your character attributes, but I think my character attributes are already... Because I chose, like, a Green Lantern-inspired person because I love it so much. I think that's not going to be too big of a deal, which, by the way, that reminds me. I learned with our good friend Christian the other night while we were playing online, because he chose to run.
Yeah.
And we've been playing together.
So obnoxious.
And it's hard because he has to run through enemies and all that stuff. And I'd want so badly to carry him, like Lois Lane, to our next mission.
I wish you could.
And so we took him to Watchtower, to that place where you could change your attributes.
Yeah, it costs money.
It costs $500. And this music, this is I'm about to blow your mind. It doesn't change your attributes. What it does is it lets you reset your skill point assignments.
Yeah,
I was so upset and glad that I had gone back and recreated the character the way I wanted it to be. And
yeah, when you said that you could do that, I was like, I don't think you can do that.
I was very angry.
You can
about
reset
it.
Your points. Yeah,
it lets you, which is a cool thing. Like, I realized, because I've tried certain powers that I never use.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, well, I guess I'll just. And then I got to go back and pick new ones. Like, I forgot that I'd hit in a level where I could get these iconic powers. Like,
I thought I had to be
level 30. And there are all these cool iconic powers that I never used.
Oh, got it.
So anyway, and I also think that the reason that maybe it's as short as it is that I think the real, like, like people are supposed to create multiple characters and then go back and play through the different scenarios. Like, for instance, I would go back and be a villain mentored by the Joker and play through that.
Those are different games. Yeah, that I get of like play the hero side, play the villain side. But when you're done with that, I really, until they start doing some expansions.
Also, I found out that there's a phase shifter, and I hope that this is helpful to people, and that everybody listening to the show is like, yeah, no, duh. But there's a phase shifter in areas within the Watchtower where it lets you take your character, because we talked about it when we last talked about this game, from PvE to PvP.
Oh.
You can send that same character over to the other universe, if you would. But and that's all I had on that. So the new thing, though, that I really like is that now what's happening is that I can focus on the social game aspect of it. So you and me and Christian have been playing. And I feel bad for...
I know some people have asked.
I keep forgetting his name because Infamous is sweet. One time I was playing and he sent me like three messages because he was playing too. He's like, hey, want to play? And hey, hello. Like, why? And I think he thought I was trying to ignore him. And I said this once already, but if you send me a message on PlayStation, I'm so dumb, I don't see it. Like, it's not like I go... Oh, no, there's... Infamous is sweet. It's trying to get me to play. Oh, what do I do? Should I just bail? Oh, God, I really want to play this game. Oh, maybe I could play another game. No, he'll know. I don't even see the little warning.
And it pops up for you. I turn those off. I never see them.
Oh.
Because I had so many people on my list of friends that it was constantly pinging.
Yeah, I constantly am getting somebody's online. Somebody's off.
So I had a turn. I'm like, I can't play the game.
That's why it's become white noise to me.
So
sometimes I notice it when my battery is dying. That's the only one I seem to be like, huh?
Well, that one you should care about. Well, you saw that they had the new update to the game for DC. Did you see that now there are some Infamous 2-esque things in the game?
User-generated content?
No. There are like people doing stuff in the town. If you're a hero, what I've seen is there'll just be people trying to break into a store.
That was there before, I thought.
Really? I'd never seen it.
I'd seen it where I was flying around and all of a sudden there was a thug. He was just thug citizen is what it said.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I beat him up and then it gave me like 5 XP.
Exactly, something small like that.
So I don't know.
Well, maybe then it must have been there. I didn't see it till after the update and I was like, and then I saw like 3 in a row and I thought, oh, they finally made this. I feel more like a hero when that kind of stuff happens.
Like random stuff you could go in and save.
That was one of my favorite parts of Infamous 2. When in the beginning, then it started to get it play. By the time you're on the second half of the second island, you're like, oh, yeah, I know I need to take this guy out.
Yeah.
And I need to save these girls.
It's always interesting to me when they make you do the same mission like that again and again and again.
Yeah, I want some variety within it.
They did that. I don't know if I'm jumping subjects too soon.
No.
But I started playing Assassin's Creed.
No, good. Let's get into that. Did anybody write an email about that?
I think they did. They did not. But anyway, I started looking at that, and it's, A, to talk about it completely from the beginning of my thought process, a beautiful game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really, like, it's one of those games where they start with a cutscene story.
How long have you been playing the Assassin? Have you played them all, is what I mean to say. Okay.
You start off with the cutscenes, right? And it's one of those, almost like a Metal Gear Solid, where the cutscene is very close, if not this equal to, the gameplay.
Uh-huh.
Where you watch it, you're like, and then all of a sudden you're playing the game, you're like, oh my god,
it looks
that
good,
the detail that they put into it. And then what they've done is I think they kind of improved. I still don't like it, but there's at least a quasi purpose to it now where you have assassins that you recruit and then you send them out to do other missions.
Fun.
They updated that where now if you, those cities, you would just keep sending them on things and it would earn you money.
Oh, yeah, you told me about that. Yeah.
But now what it is there's a purpose where you could control the city and its income if you fight, like do so well. Like essentially what you're doing in the storyline of that city, you could send other guys to do in other cities within that area of
Europe. Then stuff you do in your town. Affects them?
No, what it is like I think one of them is Algier or whatever. So you send, there's like a really low, easy mission of like, you know, poison a clerk or something like that kind of thing. So you send a low-level guy. And then as you knock down those missions, as your guys build skill points and rise up until they're like a full-fledged assassin leader, then you can you could send them and it's take over this city. Take control of the city kind of thing. And so it's like this Machiavellian thing. Like what you do in the actual game is that you find all the Templar towers, kill the captain of the guard, set a signal to say, hey, the assassins have taken over this area, and all the guards clear out. And then once you control the whole city, then it's like, then the assassins pretty much run the show there. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a little mafia type thing. So you send guys, and based on the missions that you do, like there's a certain more difficult technically. You don't actually push any buttons for it other than sending the right guy for the job.
Oh, okay. But there's a little bit less strategy, like knowing
what
card to play.
Yeah, like once a guy's like a level 9, then and if it's there's like there's the three little dots, and then there's like these bigger asterisks, and those are usually pay big money, or and then now they cost money, which I thought was interesting too. But if you send this guy and give him some money, then you could get 25% of the income. So it does that thing like what Grand Theft Auto does too, where it's like every 20 minutes they make a deposit into a bank that you have to go pick up.
Oh, right, right.
Which I also thought, there's lots of stuff within this game that I'm like, really, do I really need to do that? Do I really need to find a bank and get my money? Like, is that, how important is that to me? Like,
right, and that's like, in a world where you just have to hover over a glowing orb, you suddenly have it in your inventory, you also have to go physically to the bank to take care of something.
I could literally carry a chuck wagon full of axes and knives and throwing darts and crap, but I have to go find a bank halfway across town. And let's not also forget that the banks and everything are like Starbucks, and that they're every 20 feet away.
Oh, right,
like, so it's not hard, but it's just enough to be, it's like, I know, guess what? It's not really doing a great job. Not that I'm saying the game is bad. The game is amazing, but it's just like little nitpicky stuff that I'm like, really, do I need to do 25 push-ups just to be able to get $20,000?
It's just like, to give you, it's to extend it out a little bit.
Exactly. It's a little filter that slows someone down like me. Someone who's like, I could whip through this. But I also think, like, I don't think that I'm the kind of person that if I whip through a game fast and I enjoy the story and the way the missions were laid out, that I would be like, this is a stupid game. Why am I playing this game? I would be like, that was awesome and fun. Like, it's like this kind of new thing where movies that are good are supposed to be 2 hours now.
Yeah.
But if you ever watch a movie that's like the Winnie the Pooh movie is a great example. The new one, just under an hour.
Just under an hour.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you watch it, and you love it.
Yeah.
It's like, it's really well made, it's very well written, and it's awesome.
You're done, and you're like, oh, what am I going to do now?
Exactly. And there is this level, there is this aspect of it where you're like, you know, I wish it was longer because it was so good, but it's like, I appreciate it.
You can watch it again.
Yeah.
You can watch it twice.
Because if I watch 2 hours of something, there's got to be a few moments where I'm like, do we really need this?
Well, wasn't Cars 2 like 2 hours and 16 minutes? It was something ridiculous.
Especially for a kid's movie.
And also the worst Pixar movie ever made ever.
Whoa.
The Lifesaver commercials they made in the 80s were better.
Whoa.
Had a better storyline than Cars 2.
Whoa.
I'll take it. Take it to the
Francesco
bank.
Bernoulli is a great character.
You remember, I was...
Francesco needs a new strategy.
You remember how your son had a placemat for Cars 2 a year before the movie came out?
Yeah.
You know, the characters...
Tokyo Drift looking...
Yeah. Where was that character in the movie? Edited out because they kept changing their minds as they were... I'm not kidding.
I believe that's
exactly what happened. They kept mulling it over again and again, and they cut that character out. That was supposed to be like the villain to What's-His-Bucket to Owen Wilson's character.
Yeah, but John Turturro as Francesco Bernoulli is awesome.
Much better. Yeah. Much better.
Francesco needs no strategy.
What you were saying earlier about assassins and how they have different levels and you have to know what level to send to what kind of mission. And that's a pretty standard part of game, like in DCU, everything else, you level up, you got to get your level cap. Wouldn't it be amazing if in reality we had levels?
I think we do.
Outside of Scientology, who has levels? There's like grades, but that's just education and aptitude.
But I think what you're trying to say is your point is you want them to be actually defined.
I want that when I drive my car and then I get like driving car experience points. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of that,
Progressive has now.
I do like this really nice 3-point turn. Dink, my experience points go up. Like in WoW, it's quantifiable in WoW how many times I would shoot my shotgun. And every time I do, I get more experience points in using that shotgun. I want that in reality so that I can look up above my head and see my meter and how much is there, how much more time I've got.
I have two thoughts.
Okay.
Number one is that a tax bracket. That's the closest thing that we have to the
levels. But that's economic.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay.
And then number two is that Progressive actually has a thing for the driving where it's like they call it the snapshot where you plug it into your cigarette lighter and it tracks like it's like a pedometer for your car.
Yeah.
And it tracks how long you drive.
That would be an odometer.
I'm sorry?
That would be an odometer.
No, this is clearly a pedometer. It counts the number of bounces.
Does it really?
No. But I think it has to do with like a GPS type thing where it tracks how often you're driving, like the hours that you log in the car and the distance and all that stuff.
Isn't that the whole Big Brother
based
thing?
Based on how many miles you drive, them knowing exactly how much time you spend in your car and compare that to how many times you've involved in an accident or gotten points, you can earn discounts because you're good at it. You
know what I mean? So if you're in your car more.
If you're in your car more with less incidences, then you're less of a risk to them. So
Got it.
Instead of it just being based on your points, based on your past record and claims, it's literally saying, okay, we're going to take it down a more specific notch and say, if you could, for people like me and my dad drives 80,000 miles a year, easy. Right?
That's a lot.
So if he
plugs
that in,
four times over.
If you compare that to how many accidents he's been in, then he should be paying 25 cents
for his
insurance. Now, tickets, meh. You know, he's also said that where he goes into court, they want to take his license away. And he's like, I easily drive 12 to 15 times as much as the average person.
Wow.
This point system cannot apply to me. I have more of an opportunity to be nailed speeding than your average person. Mm-hmm. And it's worked like four times where they said, okay, yeah, I get it.
Wow, that's cool.
And they say, okay, and then we'll give you a probationary period or whatever. And now he's got a radar and he's fine, but that's neither here nor there.
Do those radar things work? That's so 1988.
They do for him. But here, it goes off randomly because a squirrel bit into a pine cone.
And then he just slows down.
And that caused some kind of sonic wave that is nowhere near the frequency of a radar. Really what it is that there's just a timer, like a cuckoo clock that's random, like just constantly wrong on time. That just beep, 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 beep. He's like, uh-oh, and he looks down the speedometer and slows it. It tells him to slow down every 15 minutes.
Yeah. So
that's really all it does.
And it was made by the police department. If you just flipped it over, you would see there's actually a webcam.
I would believe that it was made by the police department if the money you spent on the radar detector was equivalent to the money they make from you and tickets. Then I would be like, oh, okay, yeah, definitely.
Fair enough. So how do you, that little thing that connects to your cigarette lighter, how do you not defraud that? How do I not just...
like plug it into your wall at home?
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, I was wondering if it runs when it just powers up and it's a timer, or if it actually has some kind of GPS type thing, like what's in your phone, and it knows how much distance you've traveled. That's the only two things I could think of. I don't know. I really don't know. I haven't gotten it yet. I think I will.
Because the point would be to show that you drive a lot. So you don't do anything by unplugging it.
Yeah,
you want to plug it in.
If it's just by when it's powered up, then you buy a cigarette lighter adapter. You
That's
cut it off.
Thinking.
And you connect it to a transformer so you can plug it into your wall at home and just keep it plugged in like you're living in your car.
Exactly.
And then they start paying you for insurance.
That's what I'm thinking. There must be a way. They must have thought around that.
There's a cap, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That's the only way to see around that.
But they must have thought a way to get around that technical.
No. What I'm saying is that they just put in the most you could save. So it's not...
I get that. I'm just saying that they must have also thought of a way to defund
fraud.
But
what I'm saying is they don't have to. If they say, we're only going to give you a 10% discount if you drive so much in a given time, and you want to plug that into your wall to save 10% on your insurance, okay.
Fine.
We don't care.
It just seems to me that... that this is so much big brothering. Like, I remember that people were terrified of that, of like, oh, companies want to know how
stupid
much you're driving. And, you know, it's really important to keep your anonymity. I always feel like when everybody talks like that, it's so that they can continue to do things they shouldn't be doing anyway. it's not okay to put cameras outside of airports to catch deadbeat dads. It's like, well, maybe you shouldn't be a deadbeat dad.
Why? God forbid we caught... It's the same, and maybe now we're getting so far away from video games, but now it's getting political. It's the same thing, like... And maybe I'd misunderstand the legislation, but when people were all up in arms about the legislation in Arizona where they were saying, if we find somebody who's an illegal immigrant, we're going to send them home. And then, and people talk about, it's like Hitler did that. Really? I really don't think that those trains were taking them back to wherever or just away from where they are now illegally. That's not the idea.
Whoever
at
made
all.
That analogy.
All Arizona
is an
simply
ignorant
said
idiot.
Was, hey, these laws that we have that we haven't been enforcing, heads up, we're going to start enforcing them. That's essentially what happened. And everybody's like, oh, what's up, Nazis? And it's that same kind of thing. If they were, you can't, the government can't watch. If you have nothing to hide, then you shouldn't care.
Exactly. I think that we as Americans, and Sam will agree, have this overinflated sense of justice to it. Like, if anything is just slightly out of line, we have this desire to want to come in and just lay down the righteous hammer of truth.
Yeah.
It's like, sometimes you don't need to lay into the customer service clerk because your soup was cold. Like, you know what? You're going to be okay, Rich Brad.
But if I don't, who will?
Exactly.
You know what? The buck stops here.
You're not... Exactly.
Our forefathers didn't die so that I could eat cold soup.
Rebels without a cause.
We didn't give the bird to Great Britain so that I can't have those little... clam-shaped crackers in my corn chowder.
The oyster crackers.
Whatever. Don't correct me. Customer.
You're arguing with me and you don't know the seafood
God
type?
God bless America, you jerk.
Every time you misuse God bless America, the terrorists win.
And I gladly stand up next to him to defend those pearly grays. It's funny because I don't really know the song, but I stand for what it says.
Now Star Wars.
Remember when we used to talk about video games on the show?
I have so many video games I want to talk about that I'm almost like, let's just wash this episode and we'll talk about games
next
week.
We're only 40 minutes in.
All right. That's all like one really great topic. Let's talk about this.
Well, the thing about this is that it's different than that, I think, in the way that it's used in a lot of ways. Yeah. Like, people are always asking you, do you want this or that? And I'm like, well, they're kind of similar. You know what I mean? I'm like, no, don't try and peg me also into, like, a corner. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be, maybe I'm a that day. You know what I mean? Or maybe I'm this day. You know what I'm saying? It's you got to have flexibility with your this or that.
You're the king of vamping. Now, that whole time I've spent trying to find the app I wanted to, and I'm too busy listening to your brilliant vamping.
I like that you call it vamping, and I just call it BSing. Like, that's really what it is.
It's all the same.
You know what? You have a great skill in just talking about nonsense.
Like, but it sounded interesting. I'm like, you must be getting to a point.
I sell it. That's what I do. And that's what
How
you do.
How much of your act is improvised?
How much? Well, in the beginning, almost all of it. Like when I have an hour that I've done, and then I've recorded on a CD, and I've decided to move on, then it has to be. I have a premise, and then I have to act it out. And I've noticed that the bits that I enjoy the most and that get the best reactions are the ones that I mine as I go. And
yeah,
I find
yeah,
new
that makes
areas
sense.
And new fun.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
I'm ready. That was good vamping.
Thank you.
Somebody asked us to talk about these. This was a while ago, and forgive me for not. But these are.
What is this game?
Sly 2.
Really? Oh, that looks good. Hey, I know that guy. He owes me $80.
So somebody asked, somebody posted this on the Facebook wall, and they brought up something about it. And those commercials are actually a cornerstone milestone in my career as a voiceover actor. And I forget how important they were because that was a commercial for Sly 2, the second in the series of games. We recorded those after we were done with recording the game, Sly 2. And it was so important because since they wanted to air them on TV, it kicked Chris, Matt, and I all into the union because they were going to be airing on television. Up until that point, we were non-union actors getting paid like under the table and scraps of potatoes, and here's your money, kids.
May I have some more, sir?
Yeah, exactly. You'll get a look at the game when it's in the stores.
Thank you.
It wasn't that bad, but we were getting paid a different rate.
We hate you.
Yeah. And then they did those commercials, and the way it works in the acting industry, you can do one non-union gig, and then you get a month worth of union gigs for free. So you can do them without joining the union. So we did three commercials in the space of a month, and then we did a fourth commercial for Christmas on the fifth week. So because of that Christmas commercial specifically,
we all were must joins,
and it was. If you try to make it as an actor and move to Los Angeles, you'll probably start as an extra on sets. And the thing that extras
Taft-Hartley
are clawing for are waivers. You get three waivers, you get to join the union. And if you talk to any extras here, all they talk about on set is what they're trying to do to get a waiver. Oh, I just need to get another waiver. I get my third waiver, I can join the union.
I said it wrong. Then. Taft-Hartley is when you Taft-Hartley bypass all that.
Taft-Hartley is what I did.
Yeah.
Taft-Hartley is where I wasn't in, and then I was a must join because of the fifth week. You want a waiver to get you in. So
that's where President Taft talked to the guy who makes the motorcycles and
Harley.
Said, we got to figure
Taft Harley.
Yeah, but it's a funny story, actually. The side of the
You don't need to vamp anymore.
Huh?
So So what's so funny is that when I had to call the union, I had to call SAG, Screen Actors Guild, and said to tell them that I needed to join the union. And she gave me the biggest guff. She's like, what's your name? Where are you at? She acted like, no, you can't just go join the union.
Because which is great, because then their last thing is going to be $5,000.
Exactly, because you can't join the union. You can't call SAG right now. It's kind of weird. You can't call and say, hey, I'd like to give you $10,000 because that's how much it costs. No,
when
you have
you've
to earn
earned it.
Exactly.
When you've earned the right to give us money.
Then you can give us $10,000.
That's a great idea.
However, AFTRA, the other union, is all about it. You can call AFTRA right now and be like, I would like to join. Great. Send us the $4,000 or whatever
well,
it is.
Anybody could get into television.
But Screen Actors Guild.
The movies is where it's at.
It's so funny because we were doing commercials for a video game on television, and I had to join SAG. So because of that, they, so when I was calling them, she just gave me all this static, like, yeah, you don't get to join. And I gave her my name and my information and goes, oh yeah, you're a must join. How would you like to pay for that? Completely changed. And then it's a hefty amount. It's like $10,000, $1,200.
Well, essentially the way it works, so everybody knows, is you spend your first paycheck on that the, you have yeah, to yeah. on the
it's not 10,000. That's wrong. It was 1200. It was 1200 for the game.
Mine, it was going to be about, to join.
To
right?
join. Yeah.
Mine was going to be about 3,000.
Yeah.
And
ridiculous.
I got paid just over that because I got, yeah. I think I got 5,000 for that Nike commercial. And by the time they took taxes out and my agent got her cut and all that stuff, yeah. then it was like 3,500. And my manager was like, just join. So yeah. I was like, okay, well, I'm going to take this money and I'm going to join the union. I told my agent, she was like, no, there's going to be a strike. Your manager's an idiot.
Yeah. And then they fought. What was even crazier after that is that we go to record Sly 3 back up in Seattle with the same company we recorded Sly 2. And now Sucker Punch was up in arms. I can't believe Sony made our actors join the union. This is really terrible.
Just screwing up our budget.
It absolutely
and
tweaked
you're
their
like,
budgets.
I've got healthcare now.
Which I didn't use. And so we're all on these different rates and everything. And then the studio that we're recording with, Bad Animals, isn't affiliated with SAG, but they were affiliated with AFTRA. And if you're in one union, then you can work for the other. Yeah. So they're like, well, we're an AFTRA signator, which means they're affiliated. So all the actors just need to join AFTRA and we can do the work. So now to this day, I'm a member of both AFTRA and SAG.
Aren't you also a member of the union for theme park?
Yes, that is a whole nother issue. I got into a giant fight with those people. That union, the only cities that union exists in, is one, Los Angeles and Orange County, if it's Disneyland. So there's like only two places in the world that use the AFTRA union, and then apparently some people out in New York, and it's the America. No, it's AGVA, American Guild of...
You said AFTRA.
I'm in AGVA for the theme park union, American Guild of Variety Artists, AGVA, and they have an office in New York and an office here in Los Angeles.
And the office in New York handles all the Los Angeles work.
Apparently.
Yeah. There's just no theme parks out there.
Exactly. Well, I think the idea is that they're also
street
for like jugglers and that kind of
they
thing.
They do parties.
I don't know who, and I don't know what union or why there's a union for this still. And if you go to AGVA.gov. It is like web 1.0. It is the most unprofessional organization on the planet.
Does it just have coming soon?
Pretty much. It's like rollover GIFs, animated GIFs, and the it's a picture of a theater that's all pixelated, and it's about 400 by 400 JPEG.
Jacob, you like Minecraft. You should go see this crap.
Exactly. It's exactly there the same. Go. So they, I haven't worked in a theme park since 2007, and I finally was like, okay, I need to get out of this union because they're taking $75 a year or whatever from me. And I wrote them a letter just like they told me. I paid my dues in 1 month, wrote them a letter, a very explanatory letter, like, I am done. I no longer work in this industry. I am resigning. Please let me know if I need to do something else. Otherwise, I'll consider myself out of this union. I never heard from them until my next union dues showed up. And I called them, and they're like, well, yeah, you can't do it that way. You have to rewrite this address. I'm like, okay, that would be fine. But I put a very clear letter in this thing, and I know it's not like some machine that's just getting my... There's like two women that work in the AGVA union office.
Mr. Miller, this is why we have the New York office. You have to go to the New York office And then you could talk to a clerk.
And then she ducked that blow when I'm like, well, then why didn't they deal with this when I emailed? She's like, well, they're not my department. That's in New York. I'm like, there are literally.
Oh, that's real. That's funny.
There are literally eight people that work for this union. And you can't tell me that somebody didn't go, oh, hey, Betsy, you need to give this guy a call. He
Spiller, I'm sensing your tone. And let's not forget we provide health care and we protect you. Okay. Yeah. We're here to protect and serve you.
Yeah. It makes me angry that I've been paying that chick's grocery bill for the past. More than 5 years. Yeah, it was $75 a year. You can buy some decent. You can go to Gelson's.
Oh my god!
And get a turkey.
You know she is.
Totally. So, but that is not about AGVA. Those sessions were really fun. I'm getting drunk. Those sessions were really fun because the director was never in the booth. They were literally on their car driving, and they would direct us over the phone. And Matt and I would be in the office, and I wish he was here, or in the booth. I wish he was here to tell you. He kind of vented with me in one of our previous sessions. He's like, yeah, I'll never forget that day, because they kept giving me notes I didn't know what to do with. Because normally I would get all the notes. Kevin, you're not clean enough. Kevin, try again. But in that session, for some reason, they didn't like the... If you listen to the commercials, it doesn't even really sound like Bentley. They kind of directed Bentley out of Matt, so all the kind of like stuff that he normally does isn't in there. It's super clean.
Matt, we don't know what you're doing with this voice thing. Yeah. It's all wrong for our commercial.
And we would do read-throughs, and they'd be like, okay, but you're doing that thing again. And he's like, the character?
Yeah, we don't need that.
Don't sound like that.
That's not what's going to sell this game. All right?
But they were really great. So I hope at the next game that they have us do more commercials, because that is free money. Have you ever? You've done commercials, right?
I have done a few.
Do you get the residual paychecks? Or no. You just get the buyout.
No.
Residual paychecks.
I've done one union commercial, and it was web only, so it was a buyout.
No, yeah, residual commercials are the only reason why I like unions, because to get a paycheck for doing nothing is just about the coolest thing ever. I felt like I was stealing. I got my mail.
I did get residual checks for my CDs being played on satellite radio, so I definitely know that feeling.
Yeah, just like, oh, I didn't have to do a thing.
All of a sudden, and what's great about it is that it's always funny how these systems work, where they're like, you call and go, hey, how much money am I going to get? Like, we have no idea how much money you're going to get. We just send checks.
Right.
I'm like, okay, hold on.
What?
The whole basis of your company is to figure out how much I'm owed in royalties and then send me the check. And you don't, in that infrastructure, you don't bother to say, hey, let's do some math and just make it easy for us to get a number, which I know they can. But then it's like, if the amount of artists that would be calling every day going, hey, I got six more plays. How much exactly is that going to equate to?
Yeah, they don't want to deal with
that. They don't want to deal with that.
They could put an app up on their site, though. It would be pretty easy.
Yeah, they could.
Yeah.
But and so what happens is randomly, I just get $2,000 deposited
every quarter. Yeah.
Every quarter.
That's pretty great, though.
It's awesome. That's
like
why
a tax
Daddy
return.
Makes so many CDs. That's why number three is coming soon, kids.
Oh,
buckle up to your SiriusXM.
I can't wait. I've heard it.
Save the company.
Thank you,
Howard Stern.
What TV are you using? What recording are you going to use?
Well, I don't know yet. I haven't even listened to the one I sent you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I haven't had.
So my notes weren't in effect.
No, they're here, and I have them, but it's like I haven't had a chance to where I could sit and focus on it. I'm going to try this weekend.
Let's do a little workshop.
All right now? Okay, let's fire it up.
I'm going to say a word. You say the funniest thing that comes to your mind.
Are we still doing a podcast right now?
Yeah, pretty much.
I feel like we haven't for the past 15 minutes.
I have a topic that we can talk about.
All right.
Why don't you play that PS Vita video? Who posted that on the page?
I thought it was Bradley, wasn't it?
It probably was. He posts everything.
What a jerk. I didn't mean to say that out loud. Oh, great. Now it's not playing, Bradley. Make your YouTube work.
This actually, I just realized, is going to be useless because you can't see
it. Yeah, it's just music.
but it could be background while we talk. It was on the page, so make sure you look at it. And there's a few videos. Click on the one that's there and then...
Talking about the new Vita and how they use the augmented reality stuff like what the DS is using. And just so you know, Jeremy, if you're listening to this and you haven't seen this already... prepare to have your Nintendo DS just put to shame.
Yeah, because those games, like it's got the one we were just watching where you create like an obstacle course and make a guy jump through hoops and off your coffee table, and that looked like a game. Like I feel like, because I played the Mario one, and first of all you do is move around a card, and I'm like, oh wow, I can make Mario walk around on my desk.
Yeah,
I could care less. Yeah, but that, I'm like, that's an actual game. There's some challenge to it. Looks like some thought put into it. And this, I mean, the graphics look great. It looks like high definition. It looks funny. Looks well put together. And all I can think of is what happens when I put the two cards of the same thing on the table. What's going to happen? Because it's all based on those cards.
A little puff of smoke different. Will come out of the top of your Vita, and you just lost
$300. I bricked my PS Vita. Is there one on here that's augmented reality without or non-reference? See if there's something. Then I watched another video. It was linked right on the page there. Where they showed Ape Escape happening without a reference cards.
iPad, not Ape Escape.
Oh no,
I saw
iPad
that
is
stupid iPad monkey, and I was like, oh, there it is. Anyway, keep going. I'm sorry.
So they had without a reference point, so it just knew. Like you showed it the coffee table, and then you showed it the floor, and then on the screen you touched the floor, and out of the floor came an ape, and it walked around on, and you could control it and stuff, but it moved on the reality of the floor, on the proper axis, without it getting freaked out.
And this then, isn't it, is it?
It might be. I don't know what he's... Oh, no, he's got the cards there.
Oh, okay.
It looks pretty cool, though. But then they showed videos of, like, a dinosaur walking through downtown. So using the augmented reality, they are able to put a giant dinosaur in the way. Which just blows my mind. What's happening in this video?
I don't know.
Rocket ships.
Talking about Second Sight.
So I don't even know. That blows my mind. How does an augmented reality system work without reference points? How does it know what is a flat surface and
I'm
what
isn't? I'm glad you asked, Kevin. I remember when I went to MIT and we first started talking about, I don't know.
I wish you could see this video. I'm vamping. I'm not as good at it as you are. To get to the non-reference point, I'll have to look it up.
I can search for it.
Nah,
but
okay.
I don't, like, yeah,
oh,
here, I don't,
is it that one?
Call of Duty?
No, the one that says PS2.
There we go. I don't even understand like how any of it can work. Like I think it's great and I think it's way cool, but I just like if you came to me and said, "Here's what we're gonna do. You're gonna be able to put little cards and then move
and
manipulate objects like on your thing." Well, because here's the aspect of that commercial that I find annoying is that I have to look through a tiny handheld.
Yeah.
It's not like the way they make the commercial look, the trailer, is like you're just seeing it through goggles. Like glasses.
Yeah. But it's really, it's like a giant magnifying glass you have to use with both hands.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
No, I get that.
And there were people using both hands. I'm like, oh, so you have a stand for your PlayStation Vita that you're going to be just
so you've
set
filtered
up?
Into another television?
Is it going to be like one of those harmonica holders that you hold up in front of your face?
Or maybe it's supposed to be two player. Like, okay, turn that on, turn that other. Like maybe that, but that doesn't sound like fun for the other person.
I'm
going to
watch you build a soccer stadium.
Exactly.
On my table.
This is great.
It's going to be so awesome.
But I get how it works because it's the same thing as the motion tracking technology in the PS Move. It's just looking for reference points and then
it's
it can
like,
build
it's
stuff.
It's the negative of that where it's happening on the game. Kind
exactly,
of thing,
So it's just using the camera. But I was like nearing the fence before I saw that augmented reality. And I was like, well, there's not really a title that I'm really crazy for or anything, but I know I eventually want one. I saw that augmented reality. I'm like, nope, launch date. I'll be getting one. February. Yeah.
It looks cool, and it looks like something that I would be like, oh, I'll definitely do that. But at the same time, it's hard. I try to look at it because we talked about it so much that story is what's most important to us. So it's like, well, how do you really get that into a story?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, is there going to be a story that I could walk through my living room and play out?
I would hope so.
Or is it just going to be essentially Wii Sports all the time?
I hope so. Yeah, if it was but for the augmented reality, probably nothing that's going to be super super deep. That's more of going to be something fun you can play
with.
Like,
what I'm saying is I want to be able to walk around my office building holding up my PlayStation Vita and do the Assassin's Creed wrist blade to the HR rep.
I saw one that's a Star Wars.
You know what I mean? Where you could plunge it into one of their aortas, and then you see blood, and you just look like a crazy guy going, like they don't hear you because you get, and if they turn around, it has facial recognition. Like, oh, you lose. You've been recognized.
There was one where
you've been burned. Get out of there.
You could turn someone's head into like the Death Star, so you could do fights.
Shoot their face.
Yeah, and go. Yeah,
that's gonna cause so many divorces.
Well, that's the thing. Like, as soon as I said that, though, we were babysitting for an 8-year-old the other day, and he had his 3DS, and he's like, oh, I'm gonna turn your face into the villain, and then he's running around the room shooting my face as it's flying around, which I had played. I'm like, that is a dull game. Yeah. That is a carnival game
with a cool
kid. Yeah, I'm like, I get it. I played it once, and I was like, neat. now what? Because it's boring. Whoa. And there was something for the 3DS where like a volcano came out of the floor and I had to fight this dragon. But then that was it. Okay. Now
I really like, to me, the best idea for those of you who haven't seen the video, there's a cool thing where on like a little table, like a dining room table or a break room table, there's two tanks that are shooting at each
other. Yeah, it looks like you can play.
I love that idea where it's like, and if it can incorporate the random tomato that's sitting on the table, like it's an obstacle, like you can go drive around
that
and
would be
not
incredible.
Get hit, then that's fun because then you can have like two synced Vitas and be playing a tank versus game.
Now that I could get behind.
That's definitely fun. And
if that's the truth, will we both get them?
Will we both?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Come on.
That's hard.
Come on.
That's a lot of money for
Denny. See, I've been trying to fall in love with my PSP1 more because it helps Kat because then my wife can sit there. Oh, we had that question. That was a great question.
Oh, well, you want to end with it?
We've got 2 minutes.
No, we can go a little long and go a little short next week.
Since this episode has been pretty much useless. But so she wants to watch her programs, but I take up the whole TV with whatever I'm playing. And, you know, we've talked about getting a second TV or being in separate rooms. It was like, but if I could play the PSP, which has some pretty decent games. There's some game. There's that one game that's coming out where the game keeps playing even when you turn it off. And when I'm near other people that are playing, like our characters will trade with each other or fight each other. Yeah, there's a whole like universe. That's
while we're on it, this question comes from Steven where he says, "How does your wife feel about your gaming time, and how do you find the time to game? I'm a new father to a 9-month-old baby girl, and gaming is just hard to do nowadays. I generally have to wait till both my wife and baby girl fall asleep, and then I'm sleepy as well. I love the show, love listening about games, and keep up the good work, Steven."
Thanks, Steven.
I do not know your PS3 name, but mine... Oh, okay.
And that makes me mad because we had so much to talk about. Because I wanted to know about the Assassin's Creed storyline. I had a question about that, so bookmark that. Because my brother-in-law, who's 15, my wife's little brother, was playing Assassin's Creed. But he also...
What if he was her big brother?
Yeah, weird. Her big brother plays games, too.
Or awesome.
But he wasn't here
for
the
Are you listening, Brooke? I know you're 20, but in my mind.
So he...
I'm going to jail.
He was asking me one night... Each of her siblings got to spend a night with us over Thanksgiving break. And on the night he stayed, we just stayed up all night playing Split Second and Halo 3. And he goes, Kevin, how often do you play games? I said, well, I try to squeeze it in every day. And I said, but here's the thing. I don't really watch TV. That's not how I unwind. I unwind with games at the end of the day. And he goes, exactly. That's what I've been trying to tell my mom. My dad can sit down for 2 hours and watch football or whatever. But if I play a game for 30 minutes, she tells me to get off the system. And so the next day at Thanksgiving, he's telling her, like,
oh, no.
So Kevin says that he plays games every day for 2 hours. And I was in the other room and I get up and come out and go, hey, man, I'm all about defending you, but you cannot misrepresent
me. You cannot
I do
me
not play games for 2 hours a day. Like, no, that does not happen.
To your mother-in-law.
Yeah, exactly. And Kat's like,
maybe you should be looking into my soulful eyes and my daughter. Maybe
exactly.
You should be doing that. Maybe having some affection or something. I'm sorry, honey. When I supported this marriage, I didn't know you were marrying a robot.
Exactly. Like the robot from the Nintendo days.
Let's get out of here, Pacey lady face. We're going back to Virginia.
So even Kat was like, 2 hours? He doesn't play it for 2 hours. She was glad that I came out and corrected him. Like, no. But the truth is that I do try to find time, and it is how I like to unwind. And I'll watch TV or whatever. I'm not like the... Do you ever read the book?
He's like, ixnay on the ute hours.
Did you ever read the book, Things White People Like? Things,
oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
my
Bible.
Well, there's two chapters in there where it says one thing that white people like is to say that they don't watch a lot of TV.
Yeah.
And then there's another one in there that while they say they don't like to watch a lot of TV, they do like the show Arrested Development. So I don't want to be the white guy because I watch television. But
you just don't own one.
Yeah, exactly. I don't need one. I don't even own a TV. I know so many white people that are that way. But... we've worked it out to where we kind of share the gaming time. Like, and there are things that she loves to do, and she's actually becoming a mild gamer of her own. She'll play like Mahjong on her laptop for a long. I think she's doing some project or like putting together pictures or editing photos. And I look over and she's been playing Mahjong for 30
minutes.
That's
how I know you love her. That's cute that you let her call that a game. That's a board game.
It's board, but. I think that it's in the same
digital board game.
It is a predecessor. No, what's lower on the evolution chart?
Ancestral.
Yeah, it's like a primordial version of a game because it's not a story, But it's not clicking through Facebook, and it's not reading a magazine like a lot of girls would do. She's doing an interactive.
Does she get angry at the computer she's playing against?
Yes, and she gets very excited when she wins, and when she's close, she's like, "Hold on, hold on, look, look!" And she'll turn around and she'll show me how the little volcano will erupt, because she's then she'll be like.
Listen. I've made it clear on this show, maybe not this particular episode, that I took a lot of pot shots at her unnecessarily, just for humor. But
it was pretty
I'm a big fan of your wife. That's not a game.
You
love her.
I do.
And here's what you see it. You see it as a light at the end of a tunnel.
No. What I'm saying is that
where you guys have the two full fledged like NFL football head coach headsets on.
Here's what I'm trying to say.
A LAN party playing Call of Duty 47.
No. I don't plan that.
It's going to take you that long.
What I'm telling you is that of all the activities my wife could choose to do in the wide world, she could read a magazine, she could cook in the kitchen, she could do clip art.
I really wanted you to do everything sexist.
She could
take her shoes off.
She could get pregnant. She could be vacuuming the car. She could be making me my lunch. All these things. But there's lots of it. She could
Why
be doing
is she
crap.
Not doing those things? Those things also.
She could be watching trash TV, which she's doing. But what she chooses to do with her downtime, how she's like, oh, here's what I'm going to do, is she plays a game, and it is a game. It's not a game like we would call a game, and I've had that whole dialogue about there's two types of games. There's games, and then there's whatever the thing that we like to do
now, but see,
that are interactive stories.
Essentially, though, if she was to actually grab a pine Mahjong board and play against herself, that's, you know what I mean?
Like a robot
that
or
would not be, this is my point, that would not be considered a game to you.
I think that they're cousins,
it's because
though.
It's digital and polygon based that you're like, she's playing games.
I don't know. I mean, they are games. I love board games the
I'm
same
not
as I love.
You can't.
All right. Well, let's agree to disagree. How do you handle gaming with your wife?
I just do it.
You do. That's the thing. But you're really good about it because you've got a sons and you're willing to stop. I've watched you. I've been very impressed with your ability to balance game love and children love.
Yeah, I spent time with my kids, and I bank it, and then there are moments where I'm like, okay, I need to tune out for a little bit, and if the little one's asleep, then I tell Jacob, he likes to sit and watch, you know, sometimes, and he's over grabbing a controller, and now he's figured out that, hey, when I'm pressing buttons, the guy's not moving the way I want him to.
Or at all.
Yeah, and I mean, like what Steven said, is that, yeah, I do sometimes wait for the wife and the baby to go to bed, and everybody's asleep, and then I do it, but my wife is really cool. Is that she actually said this to a friend of ours from school, where she was like, "Do you let Justin play video games?" And my wife, this is why I married her, and this is why she's an amazing woman, is that she looked at this friend of hers like it was like, "What do you mean let?"
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And her friend was like, "Well, he plays these games and he just tunes out, and I feel like he doesn't listen to me or hear anything he says." You go, "Yeah, because he's having fun.
Yeah,
that's what he does for fun.
He doesn't need to be."
She's like, she goes, "I think that it's great that he wants to sit in front of him and play fake football, rather than like begging for him to go out and go to a titty bar with his
buddies." Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which she's not uptight about that stuff either. But at the same time, it's like, let's really look at how bad it is. You know what I mean?
Yes. What it could be doing.
Now, granted, my wife has had her fair share of frustration, and she's nice where she listens. She's like, okay, I've tried asking him what he wants for dinner, and I'm like, you know what I mean? Like I told her the other day, she wanted to go get lunch or something. I'm like, listen, I am trying to save the Byzantine Empire. Right? You have any idea what could happen to our timeline now if this goes the wrong way?
But that's the thing that that also works well, just like my wife and I and our pairing of what we like to do with our free time. I've always noticed since we were young that what Natalie likes to do does not require the television set. Like she will go off and busy herself with Facebook or even just a project around the house. She'll go light candles. She'll go, I don't even know what, but she's always busy. Before you had kids, she would just be around doing stuff. And I didn't feel like she was going, damn it, he's got the TV on lockdown.
No, well, she likes to watch. She likes it, but it's because I play video games.
Yeah.
It's not like that's part of her programming.
Yeah.
If she had her druthers, we would be watching Millionaire Matchmaker until the cows come home. And then we'd pick up a few Tabitha Stevens Salon Takeovers or whatever.
Wow.
And, you know, so anyway, that's what we would be doing. But she's like, okay, he's checking out. He's going to do this thing. So this is my opportunity to do some of this stuff that then when he's done with what he's doing, I'll be done with what I wanted to do, and then we could do something together. And you do. I mean, Steven will tell you. I mean, I don't think he was actually asking this question with the idea of going, here's what you do. You know those roofies? You mash it up in her evening ice cream, and then she passes out 45 minutes early. She
or
gets a beauty rest.
You have her squat out a baby, and then she's got something to enter.
I can't touch that kid for a year. You like, got to feed him.
It's like a Tamagotchi.
Yeah.
Which is another game.
I'm learning to be a parent with my iPad.
Real quick, Assassin's Creed, so you can play your song.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law, being 15, was not super articulate when I kept asking questions about the story. He would just get flabbergasted. Oh, I don't know. It's just so impossible to explain it. I don't even know. But there's something to do with like DNA memory, yeah, and how long had that been a part of the story?
From the beginning.
Okay.
The idea of the story is that this you play this guy Desmond, who's actually voiced by my boyfriend Nolan North.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And what they do is they found this technology that they could access ancient memories, yeah, from your ancestors through your DNA.
Yeah, which is awesome.
So the all of the memories are done where it looks like a DNA, yeah, like polygon, and then the memories are little markers within the DNA, and that's, mm-hmm, how you progress through the game.
Brilliant idea.
So like the Altair, and I know I'm saying that wrong, I think it's Altair is how you're supposed to really say it, is the first guy.
Yeah.
And then in the second game, I think it was, you jump ahead to like almost the Renaissance, and, mm-hmm, you're another guy who the name escapes me right now, I'm sorry, but it doesn't matter. But you're like this Italian dude, and then the game plays, and then it kind of, now what's cool is that they're in this new one, they do a little bit of jumping back and,
yeah,
forth, where you play Altair a little bit, and then you play the other guy that I can't remember.
Oh, you get to jump between the two timelines.
Yeah.
Plus do current.
And what it is it's great. You're in the current one, right? Mm-hmm. And you're accessing the Renaissance dude, who's now looking back through paperwork and books and stuff,
funny,
at what the first guy did, that then you get to go back and play.
That's pretty neat.
In your brother-in-law's defense, and I think anybody who's played the games, there's a lot of where you look at the story and you're like, what?
Oh, okay.
Like, if you don't play these games, like watching Everybody Loves Rain or Lost. Like,
yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
watching Lost and,
right,
and if you don't really like get all the DVD sets to just sit down, yeah, and watch it, there's
or
a lot
you
of
start
things
with like season four.
Right. So
what's
the problem
happening?
With the idea of the concept is great because it's a very complex story,
mm-hmm,
and it's very interesting and it's got a lot of compelling premises. But the problem is that even though this game was only like 4 or 5 months after the third one,
wow,
it's like you're still like, wait, hold on. I'm not sure exactly, mm-hmm, what is going on, mm-hmm, all the time. I get the general vague idea, but they mention people. Like, they also don't help you out with the idea of like, okay, oh, this is John. John's,
yeah,
the,
yeah,
guy. You know that stupid video game dialogue where it's like, wait, is it like Metal Gear Solid is,
yeah,
infamous for this, where it's like, wait a minute, isn't he the guy that developed that button that when,
yeah,
I pressed,
yeah, yeah,
it,
yeah,
would turn me into clear instead of camouflage because we needed it when we did that mission in Alaska?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Snake, that's him.
You know, I love it when they do that in sequels, like in the second and third Matrix film. You know, at the end of the second Matrix film, she almost dies, and then he saves his life. In the reality of the two movies, it's like the next day. The adventures of the third movie take place the next day.
Yeah.
And he goes, "You remember when I saved your life?" I'm like, "Yes, yesterday."
I do. 14 hours.
Yeah,
ago.
You could have just said,
day.
"Do you remember?" Okay, when
we
have earlier.
Slept.
Yeah, exactly.
I haven't even had a time to have a dream to forget what happened yet.
That, if they did it in, see, and I think Harry Potter did a really good job of this. Like in the fourth book, the beginning of the fourth book takes place in one summer, and the end takes place in another summer, which is how the books always happen. And it's so cool. One of the characters references last summer when this happened. They're like, "Oh, that was the beginning of the book," because that's how you would talk in reality.
Yeah.
That's what J.K. Rowling's so good about, is about being real with how people deal with things. Not the Data was the worst at this as an artificial life form. Yes, I know,
we
Data.
Get it. Your eyes are yellow, dude.
Yeah,
it's not hard to figure out.
You're a robot.
I know you think that because we deal with a lot of aliens, that we think you're just from some moon
you're
or
like
some
an albino
sector, but it's not. Okay?
Like a really uptight albino.
You recharge. You have a pop top back of your head. Right,
he's an elitist as an android.
Your hairline is a hatchback. That's
shut
what
up!
I say.
Yeah, oh, that's pretty good. There's so many jokes. This is just endless fountain.
All right.
So those extra 11 minutes were make up for the 11 minutes that we talked about Parenthood.
Sort of.
Feel free to skip those and move on. Feel free.
Give us a call 408-228-4911 or send us an email to show@secondfunniestpodcast.com. Don't forget, for all your holiday shopping needs, Click through secondfunniestpodcast.com to go to Amazon. We get a little taste.
Is that working at all?
I haven't checked the sales.
You need to.
We essentially get about 5% of everything that is bought through the website.
People should be using that like mad. Like that, I don't care.
Well, it also requires them to buy a ton of stuff, which is hard to ask people to do.
Just use it.
The Great Recession.
You use Amazon.
We use Amazon.
Everybody uses Amazon. It's ridiculous. It almost feels like we're using Amazon to sell our show.
Yeah.
Like we're riding on their coattails. Because here's the deal: that we know that there are. It's something like 15% of our listeners are on the Facebook page, and that's fine. You don't need to like our Facebook page. But frickin' click on the Amazon link.
Yeah.
That's all we ask. If you're using it, do it.
Holidays, like,
come on!
Yeah.
That's a personal plea for me.
Well done, Kevin. Well done.
He's got like only $100 in gift cards. He needs more money for Amazon.
Gotta get more money. Justin buys a lot of gear, and I've never given him any money for it.
Ah, that's all right. Daddy does well. Look at me. I've been on television once like 3 years ago for 7 minutes. On behalf of my good friend Kevin Miller, this is Justin Worship saying, okay, bye.